Brother Merle has asked us to read from Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 7. This is the account here of the children of Israel in the wilderness as they hardened their heart. And that is always a mystery to me, how a God can be so fearful in judgment of sin and yet be so merciful at the same time. And this is there was a time when he actually had said he was going to remove the children of Israel and start over with Moses. It was so bad. And Moses begged God not to do that. And God kept his promise to Abraham and fulfilled his promise through the children of Israel. But it's just amazing that God can be so merciful to us who continually fail. But starting at verse 7 in Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginnings of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Those who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
We bring you Christian greetings this evening in the precious name of Jesus, our living Lord and Savior. I'd ask to introduce in your prayers tonight as we feel the obligation to proclaim God's word. Also, would I today ask you to pray for Fat Patsy as she deals with the cancer. This week has been a very rough week for her. Seems like it's something in her eyes all the time, and it's very frustrating. So remember her in prayer. I believe there's a crucial question that Jesus wants each one of us to answer tonight. Do you have a hardened heart? Do I have a hardened heart? I stand alone at the bar of God in the hush of the twilight dim and face the question which pierced my heart. What will you do with him? Crowned or crucified, which shall it be? No other choice was offered to me. I looked on the face still freshly marred by Gethsemane's agony. The look in his kind eyes broke my heart. 'Twas full of love for me. The crown of the cross, it seemed to say, for or against me, choose thou today. He held out his loving hands to me while he pleadingly said, obey, make me thy choice, for I love thee so, and I could not say him nay. Crown not crucified, thus shall it be. Crown not crucified, thus shall it be. No other way was open to me. I knelt in tears at the foot of Christ, in the hush of the twilight dim, and all that I was or hoped or sought surrendered unto him. Crown not crucified, my heart should know, no king but Christ, who loved me so. When you and I stand at the bar of God, we don't know if it'll be a year or 2 years or 10 years or tomorrow. The condition of our heart will be the difference between eternal life and eternal sorrow. Life is a preparation place. to be with God. You see, we want to look at this subject, first of all, some symptoms of a hard heart. Number two, burdens of a hard heart. And thirdly, God's desire for us is to be tenderhearted. Symptoms of a hard heart. You know, a hardened heart is like a calloused hand, tough, insensitive, and unresponsive. There's no hiding the thick skin. It immediately catches the attention of others. The humbling aspect about Jesus' question in Mark 8:17 is that he directed this to his disciples. Take notice. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, "Why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive you not, neither understand? Have your hearts been hardened? Having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not, and you do not remember. When I break the five loaves among the thousand, how many baskets, four fragments, took you up?" They said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets, four fragments, took you up? And they said, 7. He said unto them, "How is it that you do not understand?" They didn't realize really who Jesus was. You know, we tend to think of hardness of heart as something that applies to stubborn unbelievers, such as Pharaoh, or to Moses' day. In Moses' day, or the Pharisees who opposed Jesus. But in these present verses, our Lord was cautioning his own followers, his disciples, to guard against this spiritual problem. The question, is there much hardness of heart in churches today? What about my heart? What about your heart? You know, it's easy to grow callous to spiritual realities. So let us examine our hearts tonight. Don't assume that Jesus' question is aimed at someone else. Today he asked you, and he asked me, to consider seriously whether our hearts have become hardened. Let's look at five symptoms by which we can determine if we have hardened hearts. Number one, a lack of love for Christ. The heart is the seat of love. What is Jesus' command? In Matthew 22:34, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." How is your love for God this evening? How is my love? God knows how much we love him. Are we ever ashamed of the lack of love we have for him? In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Here as a church, they had a hardening of heart, and Jesus was rebuking them. When was the last time you told Christ you love him and showed it by faithfully obeying his holy word in detail? Many times as I spend time alone each morning with the Lord, I realize that my love for him is not what it should be sometimes. And I pray, "Lord, help me to love you more so I will serve you better." The number two sign of a hardening heart, when spiritual disciplines become routine, old hat. Our prayer life becomes less and less, and we're a lukewarm Christian. Daily personal devotions become burdens. Church going becomes a chore. Giving for the needs of others is with a grudging spirit hardening the wall of our hearts. What is most more important in your mind? Sharing the message of salvation or a job promotion or your yearly vacation to do what you like to do? Israel's King David hardened his heart when he refused to confess his sin of adultery and murder. But praise the Lord, when he was confronted, he obeyed God's convicting power and prayed in Psalm 51:12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Do any of us here tonight need to pray that prayer to Almighty God? Symptom number three of a hard heart is indifference to the lost condition of people apart from Christ. In times past, the thoughts of someone going to hell would cause us to shudder. But do we still have a deep concern for needy souls? Or have we become like many people today? Remember, I worked in the store so many years. When someone passed away, it seemed as though sin didn't matter anymore. Death erased it all. But that's not what the Word of God says. Have we lost the zeal to win the lost to Christ? Charles Peace was a murderer in England. He was sentenced to die. On the morning of his execution, the chaplain accompanied him to the scaffold from which he would be hanged. And as they walked there, the chaplain was reading verses from the Bible without any feeling about his man's death and what was ahead. Turning to the preacher, the convicted murderer said, "If I believe what you and the church says you believe, even if England were covered with broken glass from coast to coast, I would walk over it on hands and knees, if need be, just to save one soul from an eternal hell." Does that statement convict us of a hardened heart? Have we lost our burden for lost souls? I guess the question goes back, do we believe God's word that there is a heaven and there is a hell? And we make the choice. Symptom number four of a hardened heart, the ability to sin with a quiet conscience. Every one of us has a conscience. And after we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit will direct us and guide us in every area of our life. All of us have sins we need to deal with. What is your besetting sin? For some, it may be lying. It shouldn't be, but it may be. Or cheating, or stealing, or lust, or outburst of temper, or gossip, whatever it may be. We live in a time today when many people, especially men and some women, are involved in the internet. They say, well, no one knows or sees what they're doing or hears, but God does. If you're a married man, it affects your relationship with your wife. Let's remember that. But whatever it is, if you're able to soften the guilt that God brings home to you at each reoccurrence, your heart is being hardened. Instead of hardness of your heart, praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. He wants to soften our heart. He desires to soften each one of our hearts. Symptom number five of a hard heart is a critical spirit toward God and his word. In Mark 3, the Pharisees were finding fault with Jesus for healing a man on the Sabbath day. Verse 5 says that this was an evidence of the hardness of their heart. You know, the church needs constructive criticism at times, but a critical attitude toward the work of God reveals an absence of love, and it reveals a hardened heart. That hardness of heart is a subtle sin. It's like the clock's hands that we cannot hardly see them move on the clock. It creeps upon you, and it takes you by surprise. Secondly, let's look at some burdens of a hard heart. The Bible teaches that a hardened heart is a sin in which we are to blame. We can't blame anyone else. It's our problem. Psalm 95, verse 8 warns, "Do not harden your heart." That command is repeated three times in the New Testament, Hebrews 3, 8, verse 15, and Hebrews 4, 7. This teaches that we are the ones who harden our hearts. The Bible in Exodus 10, 20, and 27 says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But another passage that says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. If God did the hardening to start with, how can we blame Pharaoh? God was passive in the process. We harden water into ice by putting it into ice trays and placing it in the freezer. Your activity does that, causes that. But the hardened bread, all you have to do is leave it alone. Simply neglect to wrap it up, and by its nature, it will grow stale. The human heart is like bread. For it to be soft, an outside influence must surround it. That outside influence is the grace of God. Therefore, the Heavenly Father is not unfair when he withdraws his gracious influence from our lives because we willingly sin against him. That's what he did to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was to blame for his heart of stone, which showed no pity to God's people who were suffering under wicked rule. Today, every person is responsible for the hardness of their own heart. Hebrews 4:7 says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." Secondly, Scripture teaches that a hardened heart blinds us to God's truth. In Mark chapter 3, verse 1, speaking of Jesus, it says he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. He said unto the man which had the withered hand, "Stand forth." And he saith unto them, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they held their peace. And when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth straightway, took counsel with Herodians against him, that they might destroy him. Also in Mark chapter 8 and verse 15, Jesus warned his disciples against the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. He was speaking about the rapid spreading influence of their unbelief, hypocrisy, and worldliness. But the disciples thought he was talking about literal bread. So Jesus rebuked them with these words, "Don't you see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart?" In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, Scripture says, "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Note the connection between spiritual ignorance and its cause, hardness of heart. If we have difficulty understanding the truth of God's word, and many people seem to have that, the problem may have nothing to do with our minds. It could be the matter of a hard heart. We don't want to understand. What Scripture says is important. What God calls sin, we need to call sin. What He calls righteousness, we need to follow. Christ desires to rule and reign in our hearts. And if He is not, consider that we may have a hardened heart. Proverbs 29:1. He being often reproved, hardened his heart, his neck, shall surely be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's a result of a hardened heart. Thirdly, our spiritual hardness breaks the heart of Jesus. Did you ever think about that? In Mark 3:5 says our Lord was grieved at their hardness of heart. Think about it. Their hard hearts grieved Jesus' heart. He sorrowed the inability of the Pharisees to repent of their sins because they were without feeling for their sin. He was filled with sadness. Jesus still sorrows over the hardness of heart He sees, not just in the world, but especially in His body, the church. You and me. Is He grieving because of my hard heart? Thirdly, God's desire for us is to be tender-hearted. If you have a hardened heart, you need to go back to Calvary and see Jesus hanging on the cross, not just for your sins, but for the hardness of your heart. No one who witnessed the death of Christ remained hard-hearted. I remember a scripture in Luke 23 and verse 47 and 48. It says, "Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly, this was a righteous man.'" This man was used to seeing people die, but he realized here was someone who had no sin, but was dying for the sins of the whole world. And take notice of verse 48. "And all the people that came together to that sight, watching him die, beholding the things that were done, smote their breasts and returned." The sight of the dying Savior troubled them. It caused them who watched his crucifixion to grieve. Do you ever mourn or grieve because of your spiritual condition? The Savior pronounced a blessing on people who do, and I want that blessing. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Sorrow over sin is the first step in receiving a tender heart. The Bible commands us to be tender-hearted in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Do you have a hardened heart? If so, confess it to God. Look in faith to the dying Savior who was hanging there on the cross and gave his life to make you new from the inside out. Listen to your Heavenly Father speak in Ezekiel 36:26. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit which I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." When we do our part, truly confess our sin and turn away from it, God will do His part. When we allow the Lord to make our hearts tender to Him and sensitive to the touch of the Holy Spirit, we need to pray for others that they're who have built spiritual walls around their hearts to know the Lord. Look for opportunities to share Christ with them. Remind them that the Holy Spirit breaks hard hearts by means of a soft heart. So that's why it's so important that we have a soft heart. C.L. Lewis was raised in the Church of England. As a teenage boy, he became an atheist. He despised the church, and he admitted one time, "I like clergy men like I like bears." So he hated them. Then God began to melt his hardened heart. He felt the steady touch of him whom I earnestly desired never to meet. He didn't want to meet the Lord. He said, "My name was Legend, one filled with all sins possible." He knew his life was completely full of sin. But in 1929, Lewis gave in and admitted that God was God. And he knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. He had so hardened his heart that even at that moment, he was still kicking and struggling and resentful and seeking in every direction for a way to escape. He did not want to submit to God. But he did not escape. And he who had hardened his heart is known today as one who defends the Christian faith. You know, there's always hope for callous unbelievers. And we know each one of us pray for such ones as that. Don't grow discouraged in your prayer for people who you know whose hearts need to be softened. Loved ones, be sure that we have done all that needs to be done, that the Lord can fully soften our hearts and then touch others and soften their hearts. We live in an age today with a lot of donors. People donate kidneys, hearts, all types of organs to others. You know, Jesus is a donor waiting to give you, me, and all the world the heart transplant we definitely need. He goes right to the core of the problem. God, our example of tenderheartedness, desires us to be like him. Do you have a tender heart? Do I have a tender heart? In Luke chapter 15 and verse 20, we have an account of the prodigal son who came back to the father. And take notice what the father did. It says the son arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. In Luke 19, 41, just before, short time before Christ went to the cross, he was outside of the city, and when he was near, came there, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. He realized there were multitudes of people who had hard hearts, and they were going to be lost unless they would accept him as their personal Savior. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, it tells us, as Christians, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How is your heart tonight? Do you have a hardened heart or do you have a tender heart? I'm not the judge of any of you, but I'm judging my heart. I know what's in there and you know what's in yours. Please let God soften your heart. God bless you.
I feel we have a little time. Normally, I ask Brother Ray to use me when he needs me to use me for closing, because when I get on my knees behind this culvert, I'm getting pretty weak in my legs and I have a little trouble getting up. But I feel we ought to kneel tonight. We ought to honor Brother Merle's request for prayer for Patsy. And I'd like if different one of you who feel able to, who would offer a short prayer in their behalf, and then we'll finish. Let us pray.